For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. It is always an honor and a privilege to be joined by our next guest. He is the Hall of Fame voice for the Kansas City Royals. Denny Matthews joins us on the show. Denny, how are you doing today?
Couldn't be better, Carrington. Couldn't be better.
Denny, I remember last year you told me that you believed that the Chicago White Sox were the worst team that you've ever seen, which coming from you, that is very high or low praise in this context. When I look at the Rockies, I don't know if they're White Sox bad, but they're real close to being White Sox bad.
I'd say they're close. They're probably not quite to that point. Of course, Bud Black, former Royal pitcher, the manager, Clint Hurdle, is back, and he's working with the hitters. But good guys, both of them, and solid professionals when they played. And you root for guys. No, I think they're not in the same class, but they're not very good either.
I remember one of the quotes you told me, and it's keep a bad team bad, keep a losing team losing. That's kind of how I'm looking at this from the Royals. There's no reason to lose a series to the Colorado Rockies right now. You don't necessarily have to sweep this series. Of course you'll take it, but that's not a necessity. But you cannot lose 2 of 3 at home to this Colorado team that has not won back-to-back games all season.
No, you wouldn't think so, but who knows? And how many times have you and I talked about how unpredictable baseball is? How about Sunday? The Royals are facing last year's Cy Young Award winner. They've won one game on the road trip, which consumed a week and a half. And if you were betting on the former Cy Young Award winner, Skubal, pitching against the Royals, who are struggling offensively, wouldn't you be more inclined to put a little money on Detroit and Skubal on Sunday? Well, what happened?
They lost.
Go figure, again. How many times have you and I talked about this? If you bet or try to predict baseball, you're nuts. You're wasting your time and your money if you're betting.
Denny, the Royals seem to be very, very straightforward. That I think sometimes in sports, and especially in baseball, we try to find all these advanced stats. The Royals are very simple. If the Royals score 4 or more runs, they are very, very difficult to beat. But they are 2-13 when they score 3 or fewer runs. Their pitching is going to give them a chance to win every single game. The question is every day, are they going to get enough offensively to win?
Well, that's the big question, game to game to game. And you got to figure out a way to score 4, 5, 6. If it's so simple. It's just if you can't hit, you can't score. If you can't score, you can't win. So, yeah, they just have to figure out ways to move the offense. If it's more of a running game, hit and run once in a while, move runners, move the defense around when you're moving runners, let balls that are on the ground go through on a hit and run. You've got to do some things to promote the offense, and you can't sit around and wait, bang a 2 or 3 run home run. It's just not going to happen, and especially in our ballpark, which is not home run friendly. You have to play more or less a running game or move runners and try to create runs, and the Royals are going to have to figure out a better way to do that.
Right now, we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. Denny, the Royals have Chris Bubich on the mound today. We've talked about it. He has been a very pleasant surprise so far this season. What have you seen from him? What has gotten him off to a strong start?
Confidence. It goes back to last year when he was in the bullpen, and he did pretty well coming out of the bullpen. He found some things. He's more mature. He knows what he has to do. He knows himself now. Yeah, he's just a more confident guy, and you can just see it. Just his mound presence out there will tell you he thinks, I'm in command of this game, and I'm going to win this game, and we're going to be fine. And that's been his motive, I think, from spring training. And again, it goes back to last year, but he's really putting on a great performance this year, and he's done very, very well, and I think it's all about confidence.
Denny, when you look at this Royals offense, are you seeing anybody that's kind of close to turning the corner? There's a stat right now that heading into Sunday's game, everybody outside of Bobby Witt Jr. was hitting a combined 190. You obviously need the supporting cast to be much better than that. Is there a player or two in this Royals lineup that you think is close to turning things around?
Probably Pasquantino and Massey would be the two that jump out at me. But you can't rely on three guys to get your offense to the point where you're going to score 4 or more runs. The other 6 have to contribute. And if they don't, you're going to be treading water. And I think once Benny gets into the groove, he's going to be fine. He's the RBI guy. He's going to drive in runs for you, which in the batting order in front of him is going to be on base a lot. India has done fairly well. I think he would like to be doing a little bit better. And if he's on base and then Witt's following him and then you got Vinny hitting well, then that's a pretty good start to an inning.
Right now, we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, for a couple more minutes. Denny, you have told me to give MJ Melendez a little bit of time. The Royals have decided that he is going to have to figure things down in Omaha. Are you a bit surprised that the Royals made this decision so early in the season and didn't give him another 10, 15 games to try to sort things out here in Kansas City?
No, because they can see things, and they can read his body language, and they can read his swing. They can read his approach at home plate against big league pitching. And this is not unprecedented because everybody's been talking about the fact, well, Mike Moustakas went back to the minor leagues after coming up to the big leagues for the first time. It served him well. And George Brett did the same thing. George came to the big leagues, scuffled, went back to the minor leagues, and then came back. And it worked out pretty well for both of them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my hope with MJ. And a couple just recent examples are this happened with Mike Moustakas. This also happened with Alex Gordon, that sometimes I do think you need to go down to double or triple A to clear your head a little bit, work on some things, and come right back. MJ was a guy that coming into the majors just had so much promise. He was a guy that could play in the outfield. He was a guy that could also catch if you needed him to. I do hope that they can get him right because he's a very athletic player that when he's on could really help this organization.
Yeah, and when you talk about getting things right, most people say, well, the swing and change something here and there mechanically and his setup and his approach at home plate. But you know what? The most important thing is what's going on between his ears. Number one, how is he approaching this stint in the minor leagues? And is how hard is he going to work, both mentally and physically? And if he put those two things together, and the spotlight isn't quite as bright down in Omaha as it is here in the big leagues. So that's what happened with Brett and with Alex and with Mike Moustakas. They got themselves right, if you want to put it that way, mentally and physically, came back to the big leagues, had more confidence, took it from there. So you would hope the same thing would be true for MJ Melendez, but what he's thinking and how he approaches things mentally is going to be as important as what he's going to do with his mechanics and with his swing.
That is the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, joining us on the show today to get you ready for a 6-game homestand for the Royals. They have the Rockies, and they also have the Houston Astros coming up. Denny, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We appreciate you.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Carrington.
Absolutely. That is Denny Matthews joining us on the show. Let's take a little bit of a break. We'll get back to the NFL draft coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We are continuing to get you ready for the NFL draft. Let me remind you that if you want to hang out with all of us, Thursday at the Landing in Liberty, I will be there. Rob will be there. The midday show will be there. The morning show will be there. Everybody will be there on Thursday breaking down round one of the NFL draft. We highly encourage you to come out. Stop by, grab a beer, grab something to eat, talk a little NFL draft. That is where we are going to be having our watch party for round one of the NFL draft. Let's get back to the draft. We're going to be joined by the lead analyst at CBS Sports coming up at the top of the hour. We were joined by Trevor Sikkema, who covers the draft for Pro Football Focus. He believes that this is going to be a draft about the trenches for the Chiefs.
Over the last couple of off seasons, really trying to figure out how we solidify the trenches, and this team very much knows that their championship runs were certainly fueled by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but also what they're able to do in the trenches on both sides of the ball. So you're replacing Joe Tooney. Obviously, Trey Smith is back, but you know it's on a franchise tag type of a deal. So you know, making sure that the offensive line stays the way that it needs to. You're hoping that Kingsley Suamataia can play well for you at guard, but that's not something that's 100%, or you're hoping that it happens, but you just got to make sure the trenches are as good as they possibly can be. So maybe corners, wide receivers you're taking a look at, running back obviously we touched on, but trenches, it's got to be a big trench draft for the Chiefs.
That was Trevor Sikkema, who covers the draft for Pro Football Focus. We asked Matt Miller, who covers the draft for ESPN, the same thing. He agrees. This is going to be a draft that is highly focused up front for the Chiefs.
I would love for it to be Luther Burden. I'd be happy with a tight end, you know, like a Mason Taylor at that spot. I'd be happy with a speedy edge rusher. But when we get back to how this team normally drafts, I'm with you. It's probably going to be a defensive lineman, probably going to be a defensive tackle, unless one of those offensive tackles falls. But, you know, I don't know, man. Last time they lost the Super Bowl, they got aggressive and a lot changed in a hurry. And we didn't see that through free agency. So maybe we see it in the draft, you know, with four picks in the top 95. Maybe we see some aggressive movement. I had heard 2 weeks ago that they were at least interested in moving up. You know, the last time they were interested in moving up was the Rashee Rice draft when no one would trade with them when they wanted to move up. So we will see what happens.
So if you look at their draft history, last year in round one, they got Xavier Worthy. 2 years ago, they got Felix Onyedike Uzomah. 3 years ago, they had two first-round picks. They got Trent McDuffie. They also got George Karlaftis, who played defensive end for Purdue. So the Chiefs, for the most part, love to focus in on either the offensive or defensive lines for this team. Rob, I want to get your thoughts on this. If they're going to go pass rusher in this draft class, I'm just not sure if that player is going to be available at 31. I think it is now turning to be more likely that they are going to go offensive line and prepare themselves for the future, other than there being a pass rusher that they really love. Now, maybe this is me buying too much into the pre-draft, mock draft smoke that always comes out around this time, but I think the guys who have real legitimate day one pass rushing juice, I just think they're going to be off the board by the time that the Chiefs pick. We had Matt Miller on the show yesterday. He said that he has six guys that have a first-round grade. He thinks that five of them are going to be off the board, and the other one just doesn't fit what the Chiefs' defensive scheme and the kind of player that they're looking for. I don't think that that player is going to fall to them in the draft. I could see a scenario in which there's a couple of offensive linemen that they really like that are still on the board. There's going to be some skill position guys, but at least when it comes to the topic of offensive or defensive line, I am now starting to think it is far more likely that they draft an offensive lineman than a defensive lineman in round one.
In round one, me and you were on the same page. But I think, and maybe this is me taking too much stock of what Brett Veach said when he met with the media, I believe it was last week. Because remember, Brett Veach called his shot with Isaiah Pacheco. He said, during that pre-draft process, there's going to be a running back who's late seventh round pick or undrafted who's going to rush for 1,000 yards. Now, Pacheco hasn't technically rushed for 1,000 yards, but he's been a very productive back. So maybe this is me over being all in on what Brett Veach had to say. But he talked about running back being deep and D-end being deep. So I agree with you. There might be only five or six guys with round one grades. The Chiefs might be going O-line on Thursday night. We might be, you know, leaking out of the landing in Liberty. See the alliteration? You like that? We might be doing that and talking about Joshua Simmons or a player like that. But I think by the time you wake up on Saturday morning and, you know, you're hanging out, doing whatever on draft weekend, may listening to Bink and Uno Cero on the station, the Chiefs will have added an edge rusher, and it's going to be a guy that we think can be impactful because Brett Veach says it's a good D-end draft. Maybe it's Shamar Stewart, the guy who was a highly thought of recruit, didn't produce high A&M. He's used as a second day guy now. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's Mike Green, the dude from Marshall, falls down. I don't know the name, but I think in the second or third round, whether it be with the Titans pick or they use the Titans pick to get up, they are going to get an edge rusher early in this draft, just maybe not round one.
I think what is probably most interesting about the Chiefs, if you were looking at it, because I would say for the most part, the Chiefs draft just doesn't have a lot of sizzle this year because they don't have one glaring need, and we're talking about them drafting an offensive or defensive lineman. It's not like last year where it was obvious they needed a wide receiver. It's just a more fun conversation to have. I think the intrigue with the Chiefs this year in the draft is they have pick 63. They also have pick 66. That gives them a lot of things that they could do. The Chiefs could trade up if they would like and still keep one of those two picks. The Chiefs could use the 66 pick, move back a little bit because they made a selection at 63, and also pick up some more valuable picks to just take more swings. If you are looking at how the draft is coming together, I mean, the Chiefs have 31, 63, 66, and 95. So for a year in which the Chiefs maybe don't have a lot of premium picks, to have four picks in the top 100 is pretty good. And if you are buying what a lot of the draft people are saying, sure, maybe this isn't a draft if you're looking for a star. But if you're looking for solid contributing players that can turn out to be starters for your team, this is a really good spot to find them. Well, then go find a defensive tackle starter. Someone that you think for the next couple of seasons can play alongside Chris Jones. If you're looking for a starter, I would say start the process of looking ahead to when Hollywood Brown is going to be off the team and find yourself a guy that can be a starter for you at wide receiver. It is funny because I was thinking this as we were kind of going through some past drafts and I'm looking at, you know, how drafts have come together. The Chiefs have never hit on a mid-round draft pick at a skill position. I guess you could argue Noah Gray, but running back or wide receiver, either they've never taken them or they've just outright missed on them. They've never drafted a player like Dontavian Wicks, for example, from the Green Bay Packers. A good wide receiver with some upside, with some promise, but you've never spent a premium pick to go find him because you kind of know what he is. I would love for the Chiefs at 95 to maybe they're not going to address wide receiver early on. I don't think they need to address wide receiver. But at 95, there's a wide receiver that you really like. And instead of in free agency, you're going out and you're finding those one-year veteran deals. You can address that by a third-round pick, a guy that you're not anticipating being a one or two, but a guy that completely rounds out and gives you a more well-rounded room as you have Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice on a rookie deal. So I think the fact that the Chiefs have four picks in the top 100, I think gives them a whole lot of versatility about what they can potentially do. But I think you and I agree on this. I mean, if you're looking for a guy that you think can eventually project to be a starter on the O-line or a guy that you think can give you some pass rush juice, you're not doing that with pick 133. The Chiefs don't have a pick in rounds 5 or 6. So it is basically those top 100 picks and then a pretty big gap where you go 133, 226, 251, and 257. If you're finding a guy that you think can help you for this upcoming season, you are probably doing that in the first 100 picks.
I agree with you. And we were actually talking about it in the back behind before the show today. The Chiefs draft lacks a lot of intrigue. Like in the best way possible, the draft is boring for Chiefs fans because we're talking about O-line, D-line, depth. Me and you opened the show talking about keep an eye on Juwan Taylor's replacement because he'll be off the team in 2020. That's not exciting. That's not a lot of sizzle. But if there is a year where you want to be in the Chiefs position, I think it's this year. Everyone is saying, and I use Daniel Jeremiah as the example, Daniel Jeremiah keeps saying it's a starter, not a star draft. Well, the Chiefs have three top 100 picks. You better cash in on two or three starters. I don't need you to find Travis Kelce again. It'd be great if in the third round you drafted the next Travis Kelce that you did back in 2013. But you know what? You need guys that we are talking about here in 3-4 years as starters. Dontavian Wicks is a great example, but there are players all across the NFL. Find a nickel corner. Find the Rashad Fenton type. I know he was a sixth rounder. Find that guy where for 4 years you get the best out of him. Find a guy who in the fourth round, hey, maybe I know Jared Wiley was hurt last year, but instead of Jared Wiley, they bring in DJ Ginns in the fourth round, and suddenly you have a dynamic running back for 4 years. If the draft is boring, the Chiefs are perfectly positioned to thrive in that boredom because they have so many top 100 picks and they can get starters. And the lifeblood of dynasties is starters in the draft. So you're not having to sign Hollywood Brown. You're not having to go figure it out with Elijah Mitchell. You get those quality players on your roster and it helps you massage the cap going forward. I know the draft is boring, But it's a good year for it to be boring because it's boring in the way the Chiefs should operate.
I want to play for you guys the draft grade for the Chiefs back in 2019, and we'll give it a new grade.
The Chiefs are the only team in the AFC West to get anything below a B-. They get a C+. They did trade away a first-round pick for Frank Clark, and they took.
We played that one earlier. My apologies. I will play the 2022 one. My bad. I hit the wrong one.
Football player after football player after football player. If you go down their list and you got McDuffie, you got Karlofkas, you got Sky Moore, you got Brian Cook, you got Leo Chanel. All these guys are very good football players, and I thought Brian Leach did a great job through this draft adding pieces to this already talented Kansas City roster.
A+. I mean,
plus.
And you talk about being a tough grader. They just check after check after check. Bills needs with not only players, but not only warm bodies, with guys that can contribute. Joshua Williams is a high upside kid out of Division II Fayetteville State. Showed it, held his own at the combine, but he is long. He can play corner, and that's a trace guy that you draft on day three. Darren Kennard, tackle, right tackle at Kentucky. He's going to kick inside to the next level. Had a great season against a ton of SEC competition. I thought he might go higher. He ended up going here, a guy that can help you in terms of depth. And then Karlofkas and Sky Moore, all the guys that you need to fill the void. You're not going to fill the void by yourself in terms of Tyreek Hill, but players can come and contribute and make that team better on both sides of the ball. I love what they've done.
So these were the selections for the Chiefs in 2022. They got Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis in round one. They got Sky Moore in the second round. He was the 54th pick. They also got Brian Cook. So the Chiefs just had more premium assets that year. You have two first-round picks, two second-round picks because of the Tyreek Hill trade. Very different situation than they find themselves in. I know that they have four picks in the top 100, but I think most people would agree that's a lot different than when you have 21, 30. You also have 54 and 62. A little bit of a different scenario than the Chiefs are in heading into this year's draft. They also got Leo Chenal, Joshua Williams, Darian Kennard, and they had three seventh-round selections, Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, and Najee Johnson. The fact that the Chiefs turned all three of their seventh-round picks into contributors for their team is a testament to their staff and their scouting department. That's really difficult to do. Now, none of those guys turned out to be stars, but Isaiah Pacheco is a proven running back in the NFL, in my opinion. Jalen Watson is certainly a player of worthy of being in your cornerback rotation. And Najee Johnson, it just kind of is what it is. Now, I don't think that this draft is too realistic, at least if we are putting it alongside this year's. They just simply had more picks that year than they do. So they just had more chances to take swings. And sure, they missed on some like Darian Kennard, but they also hit big, I would say, in some other spots. I think this is a great draft class. I think they had that vision early on, and you just heard it in the clip that we played. I also think it played out that way. I think this is an A draft.
I think I felt at the time that was a really good draft. I feel better about it now, obviously the advantage of hindsight, but outside of the big three, Kelce, Mahomes, Jones, is everyone that has led to the Chiefs Super Bowls coming from that draft? Isaiah Pacheco is your starting running back. I know we want to add more dynamicism to the room. He's your starting running back. You got three of your three star. I guess now Fulton's in the fold, but you got three starting caliber corners in that draft. You got your D end in that draft. You got a starting linebacker in that draft. You got your starting safety in that draft. Like, when we look at the Chiefs dynasty or part 1.5 or 2, however you want to shake it out, with the Eagles win and the second Niners win, isn't outside of that big three all the contributing factors that you had said play a major role coming from this draft class? That's check, check, and A+ might be too low of a grade.
Someone on the text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, doesn't the lack of a fifth or a sixth round pick argue for not trading up? You should keep those picks and get three or four future starters. If the Chiefs get three or four future starters out of this year's draft class, they are wizards. I mean, I'm just looking at it. 31, 63, 66, 95, 133, and then you got three in the seventh round. I think it's going to be hard to make magic work like that. Maybe at least my draft strategy would be for this one. Now, I'm not against trading back, picking up more picks, taking more swings at the board, all of those things. I would maybe focus in on a couple of things, and I would just try to take some higher-end prospects in this year's draft class and players that you really like. I don't know if it's realistic for Kansas City to think they're coming away with four starters in this year's draft class. I don't think they need to come away with four starters in this year's draft class. I think it was a lot different when you go back to 2022 where you had 11 picks. If you're going to give me that many swings and two first-round picks and two second-round picks, you can't miss when you have those. So I'm looking at the Chiefs, and I think what's maybe more important to them is I'm really curious how they handle 63 and 66. The Chiefs are not in too many positions of power just because of how good of a team they are and the way the board settles. Like, pick 95 is not super valuable. You can do a lot with the 63rd and 66th overall pick. You can package both of them and move up to really get a player that you love. You can make the 63rd overall pick. You kind of still control the board a little bit. You can now move back at 66. Let's say you now get 75 and you pick up another draft pick. I think them having the flexibility where they have two picks within a very, very tight window, it gives them the ability to control the board for an opportunity that the Chiefs very rarely get in the draft. I would say they haven't really had that since 2022 because they had so many premium assets and premium picks. If you got two first-round picks, you can do exactly what they did. Well, we really like Trent McDuffie. Let's move up to go get Trent McDuffie. We're fine taking some of these assets because we have so many of them. So I think they just were in a different position. But again, because they have 63 and 66, I think it gives them flexibility in this year's draft class, and that's really the only place that they have it.
I think me and you agree that it's unfair to compare what's coming up on Thursday, Friday, Saturday to that 2022 class that was just beyond a home run. But I know that 31 and 95 aren't sexy names, but if you got four picks in the top 100, I think you need to walk away with two starting quality players and one in year one, and maybe a guy in year two jumps up. So maybe that they use Joshua Simmons in round one. Now, he's not starting quality in year one, but year two, three, and four, he's a starter. But it just boils down to the way me and you view the draft differently, but I don't think you can have four picks in the top 100 and walk away being like, we got solid depth positions because that's the way the board shook out. They need to pull starters. They'll never pull what they did in 2022. That was just outlandish, and they hit every one except for Sky Moore. But they got to walk away with starters. We got to be talking about, man, can you believe pick 66 is doing X on the field? Or they turned pick 66 into this who's doing X on the field. It can't be, you know, conceptual Felix Anudike Uzama. Hey, we got redshirt year, guys. You have too many picks in a hot zone of 0 to 100 to walk away with just one or less starting quality NFL players.
I want to talk about this for just a little bit, and we'll get back to the draft here coming up in a bit. And we're also going to have Mike Renner of CBS Sports join us on the show. I know that we are very focused on the draft right now, and we should be. That's the next part of the NFL offseason calendar, and we are all looking forward to it. I think the number one storyline after the draft is concluded is, what is San Francisco going to do with Brock Purdy? So San Francisco is starting their offseason workouts. Brock Purdy is scheduled to be there, even though he is in line for a new contract. George Kittle is not in line to be there. He was just at WrestleMania. So it sounds to me like George Kittle is kind of hanging out and enjoying his time and knowing that a new contract is going to come at some point this summer, but also understanding, hey, this is optional. This is voluntary. I don't need to be there. Now, the priority number one is going to be, what is going to be the future of Brock Purdy? I have no clue what the contract for Brock Purdy looks like. I don't think you can pay Brock Purdy like a top quarterback, even though I think a lot of what he's accomplished on the field warrants him to be paid like a top quarterback. But if you are Brock Purdy, I think it is disrespectful for you to take the Baker Mayfield deal, which, yeah, you get a lot of money, but you are closer to Jalen Hurts than I think you are with Baker Mayfield. I think that Brock Purdy is one of the more difficult contracts that we have had in quite some time in the National Football League, because I just don't know how you accurately kind of line him up with the other quarterbacks. You can't pay him like he's Mahomes. You can't pay him like he's Josh Allen. You can't pay him like that. But I also think it's disrespectful to pay him like he's Geno Smith too. He's probably somewhere right there in the middle, but it's not just the compensation for him. It's how you handle the rest of your team. It's how you handle the rest of your roster. And I like Brock Purdy, but we have enough evidence that suggests, hey, if somebody's going to be injured on this team, he is a drastically different quarterback. If you're not going to have Christian McCaffrey healthy, can you trust this quarterback to be an elevator? If Trent Williams is not here, what does that mean for Brock Purdy? We saw last year when they had big wide receiver injuries. Now, heading into this year, they don't have Deebo Samuel. They're probably not going to have Brandon Ayuk for the early part of the season. What does that mean for the San Francisco 49ers? It is funny sometimes in the league how quickly things can turn around and how quickly things can change for you in the National Football League. But man, things have changed very, very quickly for the San Francisco 49ers. Just a year ago, they were in the Super Bowl. They were leading in the fourth quarter and had a chance to win a championship. And now, I don't want to say that they've completely torn down everything that they've built because they still have a pretty good foundation. But this absolutely feels like a transition year. And I would say the hardest decision of any team in the National Football League. How do you pay Brock Purdy? I think they are going to pay him. What does that contract look like? How is it structured? What flexibility does it give you to keep the talent around Brock Purdy that I think he needs to continue to play at a really, really high level? Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mike Renner of CBS Sports. We'll keep talking NFL draft. Let me give you guys a handful of NFL draft bets that I really like for Thursday. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. So drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Rob, you know what? You're going to laugh at me for this. I actually think days like today are really good days to go out to the stadium. The weather is good. You know that you're going to be able to find a cheap ticket for a pretty decent location. And it's also dollar hot dogs tonight if you go out there. Now, I'm not expecting there to be a rush at the stadium. I don't think they'll get to 17,000 people out there today. But those quiet games where it's a Tuesday night and they play a team like the Rockies that you can get a good seat for 10 to 15 a ticket, those are actually good games to be at.
I like those games better in the summer just because, like, I like it a little bit warmer, but Tuesday at the ballpark, that dollar dog, I've been to a Tuesday already this year. Dollar dog is just, it's a great deal. I mean, I don't know why more people don't take advantage of it, but this show's not allowed to talk attendance, so we will move on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not, this is not a you guys should be going out there today. I mean, it's a Tuesday and they're playing the Rockies and they're not really scoring a lot of runs. I understand if you're choosing to stay at home for this one, but if you are planning on going out there today, I mean, it's 80 degrees, it's supposed to rain the rest of the week. I mean, this might be the best game all week, the best chance you got to go out there. I mean, they're talking about rain just being a theme of the rest of the week. But the Royals got a good chance of winning today. It's 80 degrees outside. It's dollar dogs. It's a quiet night out the ballpark. You're going to have room to kind of spread out a little bit. I don't know, man. Today might be a good day to head out to the ballpark. We'll be joined by Mike Renner coming up at the top of the hour. He covers the draft for CBS Sports. We will go through some of the top storylines and get you ready for round one and the Kansas City Chiefs draft. Before we do that, I want to give you guys a handful of draft odds that I really like. Now, I am not a mock draft expert by any means, but you know what? I do look and pay attention and keep up with these mock drafts. I think I'm a little bit of an expert. Hit me, Rob. This is my favorite bet of the entire round one. You got a chance to get Armon Membu plus Tyler Warren to go in the top 10 at plus 120. I think that Membu is probably going to go off the board at 6 or 7. I think that Tyler Warren is going to go number 9 overall to the New Orleans Saints. Or if he doesn't go to the Saints, I think that Jency is going to be off the board. And I could see the Bears taking the best tight end in this year's draft class as they continue to try to give their quarterback more and more things. So right now on FanDuel, Armon Membu plus Tyler Warren to both be drafted in the top 10. You can get that right now at plus 120. That is my favorite bet of the NFL draft process. Speaking of draft, yesterday we had Matt Miller on the show. Rob, where did he say that he believes that Ashton Jeanty is going to go?
Top 5.
He believes that Ashton Jeanty is going to go top 5. You know what? You can get Ashton Jeanty to be drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars at plus 150. You also can get Mason Graham to be drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars at plus 200. So one of those two guys is likely going to be the pick, and you're getting plus money on either one. I'm going to ride with Matt Miller, and I'm going to take Ashton Jeanty plus 150. I'm only interested in taking plus money for the NFL draft. I'm not paying the juice on the draft. I'm also not betting big on the draft just because we're just fun. I'm only taking plus money. Give me Ashton Jeanty number 5 overall at plus 150, or you can go Mason Graham if you want to, plus 200 as well. The other thing that I'm going to take is I'm going to take two separate bets on Shedeur Sanders. So I would take $10 and I'd put them on the Steelers at plus 280. I would also take $10 and I would put it on him to be drafted by the Browns at plus 360. So you got $20 in. You would get $38 back if he gets drafted by the Steelers. You would get $46 back if he gets drafted by the Cleveland Browns. I think that is a good place to put your money. Those are the bets that I like most for round one of the NFL draft.
Man, this is bad by me to say. I do not like betting the NFL draft. It's just too much of a crapshoot for me. I agree with you. If I'm going to bet it, I'm betting plus money. But I feel like everyone says they know and they know. And then a Michael Penix happens and you're like, what is happening? Or the Jags are always good for this, to take a very random player in a tie. And you're like, you start chasing the money a little bit. I understand people bet the draft, but it feels like a sucker bet whenever I start really thinking about it.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, how much time are you guys going to spend on this draft? Can we cover anything else? Who cares? It's all nonsense and wasted air. The Royals are 9-14, and you guys hate the NBA playoffs. I don't know what you want us to do. You guys want a preview of Royals and Rockies? I'm happy to preview Royals and Rockies for you guys. You guys want to talk about the NBA playoffs? So I'm excited. If you guys want 4 hours of wall-to-wall NBA playoff coverage, I'm fully prepared to do that tomorrow. We don't got to talk about the draft at all at 31. You let me know, text line, what you want me to do. I'm here to make you guys happy. You know what? Let's talk a little Royals and Rockies here. We will not talk about the trash draft. It is nonsense. All right. This is just real simple to me, at least with the Royals. You have to beat this team. I guess at least maybe for today with the Royals is, I don't really know what to say other than what we all know about the Royals at this point. The Rockies are terrible. Like, it is not close between them and who you think the second worst team in Major League Baseball is. I know it's early on in the season, but run differential still is a thing to me. The Rockies' run differential is minus 51. The next closest team is minus 28. Like, they are the worst team in baseball, and they are running laps around who you think the second best or second worst team in baseball is. They're not good. They're not good. I don't know what else to say. They're not good. Like, at all. Like, not even a little bit good, in fact, to do that. So this week is very, very simple to me. All I want from the Royals is a very simple pass or fail. Simple. A very simple pass or fail. You have to win 2 or 3 against the Colorado Rockies. Especially when Reagans goes on Thursday, so you should have the decided advantage on Thursday, and you got Chris Bubich, who has been your second best pitcher. You have to win this series. I don't want to hear it's early. I don't care how the rest of the offense is going. I don't care about any of those excuses. You have to beat the Colorado Rockies. And it will not be an overreaction from anybody if this team, who basically lost all last week and really only won because of like a weird bloop single on Sunday, if they then couple that with an off day and they come back home and they lose a series to the Rockies, I am telling you, once we get done talking about the actual selections in the NFL draft, the panic button will be pressed, at least by me. The Rockies haven't won 2 games in a row this season. We've been playing baseball now for a month. They haven't won 2 games in a row. They're bad. Beat the Rockies. Rob, could you name one player on the Rockies?
Who's the guy that Vern said yesterday? Tovar. Boom, nailed it. Before this week, before Vern said his name yesterday, I would have none. No Rockies. The Rockies are the White Sox of last year. Their record might end up being better because the White Sox were historically bad, but this is no one's demanding a sweep, but we can't on Friday be talking about you lose a series of the Rockies. That's horrific. I don't even care if it's 2-1 every game. Just win the series.
People on the text line are offering up suggestions instead of talking about the NFL draft. That guy said back, you should talk sports, find materials, not our job. We were talking about the NFL draft and you said we shouldn't talk about it. So I feel like we were doing that. Someone else says, you talk about the former Jayhawk that just won the Boston Marathon. Someone else says, what about the NHL playoffs we should be talking about? I'm telling you that if the responsibility for me to come in here is to talk about the Boston Marathon and the NHL playoffs, we got unlimited PTO at this job. I'm just going to take that day off. Y'all got it. Lance, you got it. Bink, you got it. I don't want to be
Logan.
Here that day. Whatever his name is. I'm not going to be here that day. Not at all. I'm just not here that day. I got other things I can do. Are you watching the NHL playoffs?
I'll watch the Stanley Cup finals. Kind of like the same way I watched the Nations Cup. I'll watch the highest level, but the 1 vs. 8, no, I'm good.
I don't think there has ever... I'm being serious. I don't know if there has ever been a time in which the NHL playoffs have gone on my television. I can't think of the time that's happened. It's just not really my thing. If you watch it, that's great. I have no issues. I'm not just, that's not really my thing. You know, the same way that you guys like, oh, I can't get into the NBA because I don't have a team. I don't understand hockey. I've never been to a game before. I don't know any of the players. Someone on the text line said, you guys seriously can't name a player on the Rockies? Absolutely not. Not even a little bit. Not at all. I'm not here to lie to you guys about anything. I can't name a single player on the Colorado Rockies. I don't know if I need to be able to name a player on the Colorado Rockies. They're terrible. And I will never talk about or think about the Rockies past, not even on Thursday. We got 2 days of Rockies talk in our life, and then they're gone. They're gone for forever. Please stay away from us. Coming back at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mike Renner to talk about the draft. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.